Superstition on the air.
Our pleasure to offer you another short story in the series designed to disclose the origins of superstition. This one deals with the belief that if you throw shoes at a bridal couple, it will bring them good luck.
Coming out now. Here they come. Ah, stand back, everybody, please. Let the bridal couple through to their car, eh?
Isn't the bride lovely?
Here's some old shoes for you.
Ouch!
What's the matter, Lester?
Come on, get in the car, Lillian. Good heavens, I just got hit by a shoe intended for the bride and groom. After all, I'm only the best man.
Oh, you poor dear. But remember, Lester, it's all in fun.
Maybe, but getting hit on the head with a shoe isn't very funny. I don't know why they still continue that practice of throwing shoes at a wedding.
But Lester, throwing shoes at the bridal couple means good luck.
Oh, nonsense, Lillian. There's nothing to that belief.
Oh, yes, there is. Almost everybody believes in it. I know I do.
It's just superstitious tommy rot, Lillian. At the last wedding I attended, I was hit by a shoe just as I was today. So little Lester decided to look up some information on why shoes are used at weddings. I found out that as far as good luck is concerned, it's all a myth.
Oh, it can't be a myth, Lester. After all, it must have proved good luck to the people with whom it originated. Otherwise, it wouldn't be as popular as it is today.
That's just it. You see, that custom started with the old Israelites as a result of an incident which caused them to attribute the power of good luck to the shoe. But in reality, the shoe was in no way responsible.
Well, what did happen that caused the people to believe that the shoe brought good luck, Lester?
Well, to begin with, let me explain that among the early Jewish peoples, there was an established custom of presenting a shoe as a testimony in the transference of any goods, particularly of land, when they threw a shoe on the property as a sign of new ownership.
Oh, in other words, you mean to say that the shoe acted as a symbol of possession?
Exactly. And in about 1100 before the Christ, several centuries after the Jews had come out of Egypt into the land of Canaan, they began to seize the land and kill and enslave the inhabitants. Jacob, a young leader of an Israelite group, had been ruthlessly oppressing the people of the Syrian city-state of Kabul. As our story opens, the beloved Princess Magda has called a meeting of the high officials to decide what must be done to save her people.
But nay, Telos, I cannot put any more troops at your disposal. They would only be annihilated, as the others have been. It is useless. Jacob, the leader of the Israelites, is too powerful.
But, Princess, I am sure I will succeed this time, if only
Nay, we've been oppressed with war too long. Our people must have peace. Ah, surely there must be some other way out of our difficulty.
If you will allow me, Princess, I can tell you of a way.
Then by all means, speak, Senek. Tell us what it is.
It will mean a sacrifice for you, Princess. But it is the only thing that will bring peace and contentment back to Kabul. The young leader, Jacob, beheld you recently and became deeply enamored with your great beauty. He has just sent his emissaries to ask your hand in marriage.
What? He dared ask to marry me?
Yea, Princess. And that alone is the way that you can free your people from his oppression, by marrying him.
I marry him? That beast. Nay, never.
But, Princess, think of your people. You desire to help them?
Yea, Senek. Their happiness means everything in the world to me. But this. Oh, you cannot realize what you're demanding of me. It's too horrible to contemplate.
But, Princess, many a loyal lady hath considered no sacrifice too great to make for her people. And you know how dearly your followers love you.
Ah, say no more, Senek. I will marry Jacob. Better that one should be sacrificed than thousand. You may send my acceptance to him. And now, gentlemen, excuse me. I will retire to my quarters. I wish to be alone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Princess.
Caleb, you've heard what the princess said? She will marry Jacob. Splendid. At last, here is our opportunity to rid ourselves of this tyrant.
What do you mean, Sirik?
I mean that after the wedding, when Jacob is taking the princess out of the city, you with your soldiers must stir up the people to save their princess. You must tell them that Jacob hath forced her into this marriage. That will incite them against him, so that they will kill him.
But, Senek, the people will fear to attack Jacob, for he will be surrounded by his warriors.
Nay, I shall take care of that.
But how?
I shall tell the princess that the presence of Jacob's troops in the city will alarm the people, and that she must demand that if Jacob wishes to prove his love for her, he must send his troops outside of the city walls.
Yea, Senek, but then the Israelites will surely annihilate us for having killed their leader.
Nay, Caleb, the morale of the Israelites will be broken when they realize that they no longer have their powerful leader, Jacob.
Verily, it is a splendid plan, Senek. But what of the princess? Perhaps she will not agree.
Oh, do not speak foolishly, Tilith. Did you not hear her say that the man was a beast? She will not oppose us. She hates Jacob.
Very well, then, Senek. I will do as you say.
Good. Now I must see the emissaries of Jacob and send word to him of the prince's acceptance. Farewell, Tilith. Have you your troops in readiness?
Yea, Senek.
Good. For the marriage agreement is almost completed, and Jacob will leave immediately after with the Princess Magda for the city. You must not fail, Tilith.
Nay, Senek, I will not fail. But look, Jacob is striking the princess upon the shoulder with his shoe. Let us listen to what he is saying.
And so, Princess Magda, since thou art the most prized of all my possessions, I touch you with my shoe, so that no man may ever dispute my ownership of thee.
But Jacob, my lord, what power hath thy shoe to bind me unto thee?
Among my people, the shoe is a symbol of ownership, and by this sign do I proclaim unto all men that you belong to me. But come, let us depart. We have a long journey before us.
As you will, my lord.
Come then. Let me help you into this golden litter, upon which you shall be carried through the streets of your city and mine, like an empress. And I shall ride beside you.
You are most generous, my lord. Senek, come hither.
Yea, princess.
I commend the welfare of Kabul into thy hands, Senek, during my absence.
Thy wish is my law, princess.
Then farewell.
Farewell.
I am ready, Jacob, my lord.
Then let us proceed. Onward, men. Beloved princess, until I beheld thee, I had not known love, and I was a hard, ruthless man. I have made thy people suffer, and I repent that I have been responsible for causing you a moment's pain. But now will you allow me to send for my troops outside the city walls, so that your people may see my followers bow down in homage before thee?
By Jacob, your words astonish me. Yea, you may send for your troops.
Rabor!
Yea, master?
Ride swiftly to the city gates, and order my troops to enter the city and pay homage to my wife, the Princess Magda.
Yea, master!
Ah, my lord, I had not thought to find you so gallant.
Yea. I know you did hate and fear me, but I shall change all that, beloved, for I will fill your heart with love for me, and bring peace and security back to your people. They shall dwell with my followers as brother with brother.
Ah, Jacob, in this moment, thou hast made me happier than I had ever dreamed to be. Why, what is that?
Look, your people are rushing upon us. They seem in a rage.
Out with the tyrant!
In the name of another
princess! Kill the abductor!
Magda, have your people gone mad? They're crying for my blood.
Ah, Jacob, I fear they think that you intend to harm me, but I will pacify them. Wait! Wait, my people! What madness has seized you that you act in this manner upon my wedding day? Tell us, why have you brought your soldiers here?
The people would kill the tyrant Jacob, princess, and free you from this hateful marriage.
Yea, princess, let us kill him now.
Nay, my people! You must not harm him. That's his my command.
Princess, we seek to free Kabul and you from this merciless man.
Nay, Tenok. Jacob is my husband. If the people kill him against my orders, they must kill me first. My people, go back to your homes. I promise you that you have nothing to fear, for the Israelites are no longer our enemies. Peace hath come to our land.
Hail to our beloved princess. She hath brought good unto us.
Tenok, what has happened to change the princess so suddenly? Only this morning she hated Jacob, and now she protects him. Surely he must have cast a spell upon her.
Verily, Tirleth, you are right. Ah, it was the power of the shoe that brought him this good fortune and made her obedient to his will.
And so the belief gradually spread among the people that the shoe was a symbol of good luck. But as you know, the shoe had nothing to do with it.
But Lester, if Jacob hadn't struck her with his shoe, Princess Magda wouldn't have changed her mind about him and saved his life.
Oh, Lillian, don't you see that if it wasn't the shoe that caused her to change her mind, but Jacob's repentance that inspired love in her heart and prompted her to protect him? However, if she hadn't saved Jacob, his troops would have done so.
Well, yes, but I... Oh, well, here we are at the house. Oh, I wonder what all the commotion's about.
I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
Hey, Tom, what's the trouble?
Somebody hit the bridegroom with a shoe just as he was getting out of the car. There must have been a horseshoe in it because it knocked him cold.
And so what was intended to be good luck turned out just the opposite for the bridegroom. However, Lillian will probably go on believing that throwing shoes at a wedding will ensure good luck for the newlyweds. Au revoir, and good luck to you.